Awesome. Thank you, guys. You ever walk into a room and everybody leaves? That's what that just felt like right there. What did I do? I know I haven't bathed, but if you would, please, turn your Bibles, James 3:13. I'm going to start reading there. This is not a Mother's Day sermon. You've been warned. However, I did bring a couple Mother's Day jokes. Balance life out. Why is a computer so smart? It listens to its motherboard. Pastor asks little Johnny, "Do you say prayers before eating?" Johnny says, "No, sir, I don't have to. My mother's a good cook." I like this one. Mothers with teenagers understand why animals eat their young. I'm not going to preach long this morning. I know most of you have dinners to go to, probably cooked by your mother on her special day. That's extra special. Or maybe you're taking her out to eat. I'm taking the greatest mother I know out to eat, which is my wife. See, I said that in front of 300 people, so that's your gift. Well, you didn't even know where I'm taking her out to eat yet. She's a queen, so I'm taking her to Burger King. And if you think I'm joking, I'm not. James 3:13. We're going to read through 4:12. Are you ready? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humanity that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such, quote, wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then it is peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers sow in peace and reap a harvest in righteousness. Chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire what you do not have, so you kill, you covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask God, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend on what is your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes the enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or a sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and one judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? I was reading a place this week, and I was like, they called this passage of Scripture, and also maybe the entire book of James, they said it should be called In Your Face. And I don't know if you agree with what I just read, but I kind of feel like that's what I just said to everybody. Blah, blah, blah. In your face. Matter of fact, it actually said it should be called James, the In Your Face Epistle. I think that's pretty accurate, right, with what I just said? Let's pray. Father, we just lift up this morning. We just ask just for your presence, God. I pray that what I speak will be from you and not from me. God, we pray that my words will not fall to the ground, but they will penetrate hearts. And we just thank you for that, Father. Amen. So where does your loyalty and friendship lie? Maybe when you heard this morning, you read in the bulletin, well, we're going to speak about reconciliation. People automatically think, oh man, all the people I've offended and all the people I've hurt and all the relationships that I've ruined, and that was just on my way to church. Nobody else had an interesting one? Okay, just me. But that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. What we are going to talk about is just one relationship. And if we get this one relationship right, all the rest of our relationships have to fall in order. The verse says, I'm at war. And so I'm saying, I am a man at war. Good brethren theology there. I am a man at war. When I am not at peace with God, the war inside of me bubbles up and comes to the surface. And it takes many forms. Broken relationships. Disgust and frustration with people, especially in traffic. Kids drive me more crazy than normal. Lack of love, maybe, for my spouse. Selfish and self-serving attitudes. I thought maybe it was important that before we get too deep into the reconcile, we understand what the definition of reconcile is. The definition, when I looked it up, Google search. That's right, because nobody owns a dictionary. I'm not even sure if they sell them. So I Google searched it, and it gave this really cute definition. Restore friendly relationships between. Excellent. And I was like, it's a bit of puffy for me. So I had to, you know, hit the more button and scroll down further. And at the bottom, I came to what I like to call the advanced definition of reconcile. Make someone accept a disagreeable or unwelcome thing. And I was like, oh my word, this is my kid's definition of reconcile. I'm telling them reconciling, they're saying it's unwelcome. I want to read for you because I feel like this entire set of verses is all encompassed in 4 verse 5. But I want to read it for you out of the message, just to give you just a little bit of a difference here. Do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it, he is a fiercely jealous lover. And what he gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. Your father is a fiercely jealous lover. You see, our ability to reconcile is not cute and it's not neat. When you are friends with the world, when you are selfish in your ambitions, you are forcing God to the second definition, a disagreeable and unwelcome thing. Your lack of love and attention is not what a fiercely jealous lover desires. And we are forcing God to that place. Our selfishness is in direct opposition to God's ability to be a fiercely jealous lover of you. Let me say that again. Think about this. Our selfishness is in direct opposition to God's ability to be a fiercely jealous lover of you. That's his desire. That's his goal. Let me explain. We think that somehow when we're fighting with our spouse or we're hard on our kids or we're mean to people or we're putting other things before God that, you know, it's just a result of stress or you're having a rough day. I'm just having a bad day. Or whatever excuse you might use. And so we go and we hopefully seek forgiveness from our spouse or kids or that person that we cut off in traffic. Maybe you can't ask forgiveness for them. Give them that nod. Everybody else do that? Like, my bad. Sorry. Bad driver today. We try and reconcile that. And I do that because, see, I don't like awkwardness. Matter of fact, I don't even like awkward TV shows. It makes me feel weird. I don't like that feeling. And so I don't like that awkwardness. So, like, you know, even immediately after fighting with my wife, I'm like, oh, I'm really sorry. I mean, like what I said... But like, I'm really sorry. I just don't want awkwardness. Please, let's just move on. And if you think there isn't a whole lot of things humbling in life, go to your toddler and ask them for forgiveness. It's actually amazing. They're very quick, especially if you have cookies. Amazingly quick to forgive. Teenagers, not so much. So hopefully you seek out that forgiveness, and you should. We are supposed to go to each other and reconcile. But the problem is that oftentimes we miss the main relationship. We forget to reconcile with God. I recently started exercising. I hate it. Don't congratulate me or be like, oh, that's wonderful. No. Ugh. No. I hate it. It's not me. I'm lazy. Not a fun thing. But I do it. I walk around my neighborhood. We put the kids to bed. And I walk around my neighborhood because they said I don't have to run. I can walk. I don't run. If you see me running, there's probably a bear. I'd start running. So I walk consistently. And so it's dark out. It's a great way to see inside your neighbor's houses, the ones you've always wanted to wonder. Speaking of which, Murphy, would you please put a shirt on? Nobody wants to see that. And you still look. I can't help it. And so walking around my neighborhood at night, I come to this realization, what if everything that has happened to me recently, and I'm exercising, what if it is all just because God's like, you know what, I need 30 minutes with you. Some days 25, to be honest. Of just you. Just you. And so for weeks and weeks now, I've had these 30-minute spots of just my thoughts, which is dangerous. And so what started to happen is God starts invading my thoughts and my mind. And what he started to show me is that I've been building up animosity and anger and bitterness towards him because I haven't been going back to God to reconcile the things that haven't been going right in my life or that I think haven't been going right. And so I get frustrated. Because I want to be selfish. God, if only you would have stepped in this situation. Or God, if only you would have done this with my kids. Or God, if only my house wouldn't have broke or my car or whatever else. And God, what if, why didn't you just make my spouse do this? Don't ever pray that. That's a surefire way to make sure that you're about to do that. Because God's like, ha, 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 you're now doing it. But we have all these things, and so we hold these things because we're not reconciling back to God. And in the quietness of the night and walking and listening to worship music, and God responds back to my heart. And he says, your selfishness has gotten in the way of what I'm trying to do. Your lack of faith that I have everything under control has caused you to step outside of my provision. And you are feeding your own selfishness. Now, I guarantee you I'm not the only one in the room that was spoken to. We are so quick to step outside of what God is doing, to try and fix it on our own instead of waiting for someone that fiercely loves us to step in. And so we do all the right things to make it happen. Colossians 1:20 says, "And through Him to reconcile Himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His shed blood on the cross." You see, we're really good sometimes at getting these vertical relationships back in line. Sometimes. But oftentimes we forget about the horizontal one. And I do believe God wants to change our thinking. He wants us to come to Him first. God, You're the first one that I need to reconcile with. You're the first one where I need to bring myself back in line. You see, when I'm not in line with God, I am eliminating and stifling His ability to bless me and to be a lover of who I am. Because I'm getting in the way. I'm in the way of what God is doing. It's me. It's not Him. He hasn't changed. I've changed. When I reconcile with God, I begin to eliminate the selfishness. And this can do one amazingly important thing. Somebody had said, when you reconcile and you get rid of the selfishness out of your life, it allows you to open your heart one more time. And that's all God needs. One more time for God to move in the impossible situation in your life. One more time to increase the love for your spouse or your kids or maybe in some of your circumstances, your mom. One more time to begin to see the world not as your playground to indulge your desire, but as a place where God is jealously desiring to be present in. And maybe one more time to see people with compassion and love instead of just people that are in your way and that need to be moved to the side. This is what's tough. This is what's hard. But it's not supposed to be. Because you have someone that is fiercely and jealously loving after you. There's a song, and the youth know this song because I play it every so often. I get in a mood. And Ryan has to be settled in his own head. The song is called "It's Not Enough." And I want to read to you just a small part of this. And though all the wealth of men was mine to squander, and towers of ivory rose beneath my feet, were places of pleasure mine to wander, the sum of it would leave me incomplete. Though every soul would hold my name in honor, and truest love was always by my side, my praises sung by grateful sons and daughters, my soul would never be satisfied. It's not enough. If we are not reconciled back to the one that loved us first, and coincidentally, the one that will love us last, if we do not get that back right, we're impeding, we're standing in between, we're pushing back on God. He is desiring to do things in your life. And so somehow, all these months of walking have had a point. And I'm not dreading it as much anymore. Because maybe I get some cool revelation. Or maybe God just wants to speak to me. It's amazing what He'll say when we get out of our own way. When we accept Him. As a worship team comes up, you say, well, what can be restored, Ryan? What is going to be restored back into my life if I understand that? If I'm reconciled back, what is restored? Joy. Joy gets restored. Worship. The desire to spend time in the presence of someone that loves you and has your best interest always at the top of what he's doing. And fellowship. Fellowship with a Father who's never done you wrong, who always is excited to hear from you, which is amazing. Part of my walk is in the dark, pretty dark place, and I can see stars, and I'm like, really, God? You care enough? And he does. I would encourage you today, reconcile what you have to your Father, because he is jealously seeking to love you. Amen.